This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients.
So, Brie, I remember this one time I was in a bike race around Tucson, and I wasn't paying attention. We were riding down 4th Avenue, and there's railroad tracks, like streetcar tracks, and my bike's tire like went and wedged in to the railroad tracks,
no!
And I totally fell down and just like skinned my hands, everything. Ugh. I had nothing with me, nothing at all. And it's that times where you want a first aid product and you have nothing. And Active Skin Repair utilizes a molecule called hypochlorous acid. When applied to the skin, the molecule works by mimicking the natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support healing. I've used it on my son's mosquito bites, and I wish I would have had it the time I totally scraped up my hands.
Oh, I hear you. Like whenever I go paddleboarding, kayaking, I'm always trying to find something that is like an all-in-one that I can take with me. And Active Skin Repair could be used like that. It can be used to treat cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, and other types of skin damage. It's also safe and non-toxic, which makes it suitable for all skin types, all parts of the body, like eczema, and acne-prone skin, all of that.
With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients so safe and clean they can be used from the youngest member of the family to the oldest, you now have one simple solution for all of your family's skin health needs. Visit www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and to get 20% off your order. Use code NOGUILT. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by my co-host, Brie Tucker.
Well, hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
we are talking today about something that I think is really hard for moms in particular to do, and it's to say no.
It is. It's so hard to say no. No to everybody because you want to make everybody happy.
Yeah. It's like your kids ask you to do something. You can't, it's hard to say no. Like, it's funny. I was going to go into that and be like, your kids ask you to do something? No. The PTO asks you to do something? No.
What was a Meghan Trainor song?
My name is no. My sign is no.
I like that.
In actuality, that's not how our lives play out because we are people pleasers. We do want to like show our kids in particular that like we're willing to help them out. But sometimes like it's hard to figure out what that limit is. And how do we balance the no's with like actually being helpful people? I mean, that's the thing I struggle with so often. So today's is the good one. We're going to give you a plan. We're going to give you lots of fun stories too. And hopefully hearing our experiences with it will have you more likely to say no as well.
If you're looking for another podcast to add to your rotation, we have got one for you. Our friends over at The Okayest Moms, the podcast too, they are amazing and you will utterly love their podcast. Okayest Moms, the podcast, is a community for the imperfect modern mom, which, hello. Every Tuesday, co-hosts Brittany and Heather talk about a wide range of motherhood topics. They believe that every mom deserves an identity outside of motherhood. Yep. Self-care is more than a shower, you bet. And that motherhood looks differently for everyone. And don't miss their monthly Okayest Moms Moment episodes where they share real life stories about the messy and perfect side of motherhood. You know, the kind that kind of leaves you so that you don't dare share on social media and you only share with your best friends because they're the ones that aren't going to judge you. So check them out, people. Check out the Okayest Moms podcast anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts.
And now on with the show. You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
We
We are talking about how to say no to others and actually stick with it. Because I think we get all this advice, Brie, on that we should be saying no more in our lives. And then, I don't know about you, but I go and I say the no, and then I immediately feel guilty and dial back my no. So it becomes a less stronger no than I said in the first place.
I think that does happen to me a lot. Yeah, I probably don't realize it, but it does. Or even if I don't dial it back, I want to dial it back.
Yeah.
And then I have to go to like my support system at home. I'll go to Miguel and I'll be like, tell me I'm making the right choice. Tell me not to waver. And he's like, don't waver.
Don't waver. You stay strong.
Yeah, yeah.
Stay strong.
Stay strong, my friend. Stay strong.
One of the indications that you might need to say no a little bit more is if you're feeling really burnt out, if you're feeling constantly pressed upon that people are asking you things and you can't possibly keep up, or if you're feeling that life is just not fun.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
it's not fun and you're not setting those boundaries in place to do stuff that you think is fun, that could be an indication that no needs to make a bigger appearance in your life. And I say this from like personal experience, because I lately have been delving into what do I actually find fun and what do I want to carve out time to do. And it's really hard because, I mean, my daughter's 13, my son is 9. I've been a mom for quite a while, and I've been kind of here accepting what everyone else needs for quite a while and not realizing that I've lost a bit of what I find fun because I've been so concerned about everyone else.
Well, okay, I 100% hear that, but let's also give some credit to the lovely global pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, that the pandemic did not help.
That
didn't
sucked
help.
Out a lot of, I feel like a lot of us had made some gains in our lives where like maybe we were having time carved out. We had figured out some routines and things that worked. And then the pandemic went on and on for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And that greatly impacted how we could do things, especially moms. Like, we have podcast episodes where we talked about like the unfair weight upon moms during the pandemic. I feel like coming out of it now, even having been out of it for a little while now, and I don't even know how to look back at this episode, it's going to be so dated by saying that, but we may have had time to do things and then now we're not even sure where to start to get back to where we were.
Yeah, I think it's an age-old problem, though, because I remember my mom, like, early 90s, she would just go to work and she would come home. And then, even then, I saw it. I saw that she was not doing anything for herself and she was not doing anything fun. And I would ask her about it. I'd be like, hey, mom, like, she would come home and, like, I'm sure I was so helpful in this. Oh, my gosh, it started so early. But she'd be like, I just don't have time to work out. And here I am coming in with all my helpful suggestions at, like, 11, 12 years old, being like, mom, you have a gym at your work. Why don't you just stay after work and you can, like, work out there? And she's like, no, I don't have time for that. Like, I need to come home. I need to make dinner. I need to do all these things. And even then, and I think it was very common then, I think it's very common now, but she didn't go out with friends ever. She didn't have many friends outside of our family members. And it just became this routine of you come home, you do the kids stuff, you sit down, you watch TV, you wake up, you do it over again. And it's never that consideration for what else do I want to do, rather than kind of going with the flow.
And society tells us that we should be fulfilled enough with that.
Yeah. And that's the issue. That's the issue. Yeah. Because society's like, oh, like you have like a great family and you have a job and a roof over your head and this is it. But it's not. It's not it.
No. I have to say, honestly, the best thing that ever happened to me on my journey to learn to say no was my divorce.
Yeah.
It forced me to face a lot of things about my life that I didn't want to face, that I had no real identity outside of being a wife and a mom. I had no idea what I enjoyed doing because, oh my goodness, if you try jumping back into that whole pool of dating, like after having not done it for 20 plus years, that's real fun when people are like, what do you like doing? And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like a good dinner out. Like, that was exciting because I didn't have to do dishes.
Yes.
Really? That's the best you can come up with? So like, yeah, it taught me a lot about how to say no. And it also taught me a lot about what's important to me in terms of boundaries with personal relationships, with friends, with dating, all that.
Were you swiping and you're like, no.
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
Some practice with saying all the no.
I'm going to plead the fifth.
But like what you said is right. It's hard when you get in a routine, you're around people who you're familiar with, mm-hmm. and you don't ever go outside of your comfort zone because the routine really sucks you in, especially when you have kids.
Yeah.
Because you're constantly trying to manage your own energy that you don't know what's okay to do and what's okay not to do. I mean, I bring it back to our trip to Italy, which was about a year ago now, which I'm like, we need another trip. But it was so hard to say yes to because there was all that things I would be saying no to in terms of my kids. I was saying no to, they usually do a fall theater camp and I would be missing their show. I was saying no to them for that. I was saying no to them that they could come on every vacation I ever go on with me. Like, there's a lot of guilt that comes with that.
That's
too.
A whole nother episode.
Thinking that like you need to take your kids along on every fun thing you do. That's an issue that we should get in on.
Yep.
Because I struggle with that too. But there are so many things there. And the point of this is that you can't say no if you don't know what you want to do.
Right.
Because if there's nothing that you're saying yes, it's a hell yes for, then there your no's become much harder to say because you don't have those priorities in place. Like we do in our Calm and Happy Parenting class. That's the first thing we do. We're like, what are your priorities? What do you want to get done? What do you want to do? Else you can't say no to the things that don't serve that. You have probably heard me talk about my dog, Addie, before. And when we first got her, we didn't know that she was a counter surfer. Now, counter surfing animals are the ones who jump on counters, especially kitchen counters, when you're not looking and take stuff off of them. Well, in this instance, Addie had jumped onto the kitchen counter and eaten an entire bottle of my other dog's pain medication. You can imagine the freak out that ensued from me. So imagine this. You're at the vet's office again, knowing that vet care costs continue to rise. You're anxiously waiting to hear how expensive the bill will be. But if you had pet insurance, your pet could be covered for accidents or illnesses. That's why you should check out ASPCA Pet Health Insurance.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care that they may need. They allow you to customize the plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/no guilt. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/no guilt. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/no guilt.
This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Hey guys, Bree here. And let me tell you, April is a killer time of the year for me because it is crazy allergy season. I swear, everything that is in bloom looks fantastic and beautiful, but it makes it so I can't breathe. I am literally coughing, sneezing, rubbing my nose. I look like Rudolph half of the spring. It's terrible. But luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies like I do, we live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can finally breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine is the best decongestant available. It relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy, watery eyes, itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I absolutely love it. It is the only allergy medicine that works for me. So if you're ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just one quick trip. trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin clear.
Well, so then let's start showing them like what are things that they can do so that we can get these. We can not only just tell you that you're allowed to say no, but get you to really understand, feel, and know what your next steps are.
Yes. So first of all, if you don't know what you want to do, it's time to explore. And like exploring.
You got really excited about that one.
It's fun. And it's like, it's a process I'm on right now because especially with the pandemic, like there was not many things new we could do.
Exactly.
We couldn't try new things. We couldn't go new places. We couldn't do any of that. So exploring is a great thing. I mean, I just did my first Dungeons and Dragons night with my husband and his friends. I'd never experienced it before. And honestly, I thought it was a nerd thing, guys. I'm going to say that right now. But it's not. It's not. It was one of those perceptions that I like held so tightly to. And sometimes when we do that to ourselves, like we prevent ourselves from trying new things mm-hmm. when we think that new thing is something that's not worth our time, or like we assume it's something different than it is when we haven't even tried it.
Well, that's true. Assuming it makes an A out of you and me. Like assuming is going to be the real killer of most situations, mm-hmm. right? But I'm going back to the whole Dungeons and Dragons. I'm just going to say Stranger Things did make it pretty cool. I gotta say.
Okay, was that in a later season? Because I'm only in the middle of season 3. Did they play Dungeons and Dragons in season 1? I can't remember.
They do.
Okay.
It's a theme through the whole show.
Oh. Really? I need to go back and watch it now that I know what Dungeons and Dragons actually is.
And all the creatures are Dungeons and Dragons characters.
Really?
And then the fourth season, I mean, Hellfire Club. They're awesome. And Eddie? But you haven't gotten
season 4. I haven't gotten there. I'm middle of season 3. They just escaped the Russian base.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Okay. Well.
But anyway, I'm just saying they brought Dungeons and Dragons back to the forefront. And I do think that you're right. Like many of us are like back from the growing up in the 80s. Like, oh, that's just what nerds do. But no, there's really so. And honestly, my son enjoyed playing it. He hasn't played it a lot because pandemic happened right when he was starting it. Mm-hmm. So kind of put a squish on that.
Yeah.
But I will say that when he tried to explain it to me, I was like, my head is about to explode. This is such a complex game.
It is such a complex game. And
so
the thing,
to say it's like not fun, like if you like complex things, you like figuring things out and you like creating, like it's an awesome game.
But it's like, it's not even like you don't have to know all the things going in. And it's almost great going in. Like I just went in as a beginner, like, and he's like, okay, you have to roll a D20 and you have like 10 dice in your hand. And I just like put all the dice in my hand and I held it out. And I'm like, which one is a D20? And a D20 just means a 20-sided dice. Yeah. But it's like also coming in like just as a beginner is great. But things I found out about myself in there is that when you're playing a character, you like you can leave your people pleasing and like throw it out the window. Because you could be like as mean and as rude and just say all the things that you ever want to say or do all the things like you're afraid to do in real life. And that's a benefit of role playing. You just get to be silly. And
I cannot picture you being harsh on that, though.
I'm
Your
not
role was
harsh.
Still a nice person.
I'm basically a She-Hulk wizard. That's my character in Dungeons and Dragons. I'm a She-Hulk wizard. And I was the one the goblins attacked. And I'm like, I'm going out front to see what's going on. And if you're ever a wizard in Dungeons and Dragons, don't do that. Because wizards have like no fighting power and you will die.
Okay. So,
I got knocked unconscious about an hour into the game. And it was a 4-hour game. So I was just
That's the other thing. It takes a lot of commitment, but it's good. But still, we could talk about Dungeons and Dragons a lot here, but it brought you joy, obviously.
It brought me joy of something unexpected, and it's just trying those new things and knowing what you like and what you don't like. And the same goes for we went on the river on Sunday. You invited me to the river. Mm-hmm. And there were all of these complications in my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with the kids? Oh, my husband has like a training bike ride he's going to go on. Like everything came up until I realized, I'm like, you know what? This makes me happy. And I went to my husband. I'm like, so I want to go on the river. And my husband's cool. He's like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll just do a Peloton ride that day and not go out on my 40-mile
bike ride. And that was a huge reason for your no in your mm-hmm. head was that he had something going on.
Yes.
You couldn't ask him.
Yes, I was trying to protect my husband.
Yep.
Which I think we all do.
We all do that for so many members of our family. We try to anticipate what their needs are going to be mm-hmm. and to try to not make their lives harder. And that's what causes it to be so hard for us to say no.
Could we go out? Because I think this is really related. But whenever we do have like a girls' night out or something, and I don't think our group of friends has done this, but I've seen other people do this, where they will prepare the whole night for their husbands. They'll be like, they will make a dinner ahead of time. They will make sure that the kids have all of their clothes laid out for bedtime. They will like make the process as easy as possible. So then they go out and their husbands don't have to do a single thing while they're gone. Like, they make minimal effort as possible. It's exhausting. And but it happens a lot. It happens a lot. And I have friends who we go on vacation with or like go to like a work event. And she's like saying like all of these lists of stuff she left in terms of instructions and meals she had to prepare ahead of time. And it's just like, it doesn't have to be that hard to do the things you want to do.
That's like, when you got to take a step back and be like, all right, can my spouse really handle this? Chances are they can.
Yes, I'm grown adults.
I'm anticipating too much.
Yes.
And if they knew how little we were thinking that their abilities were, they may not be so happy about that list.
Yeah.
And those meals. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know everybody's relationship, but man, I would be a little insulted.
But if like one of those things that is holding you back is that it is too much work to do what you want to do, look to see what work that you have on your plate and what you're expecting yourself to do. Because odds are that if you have a partner, they could take a lot of that off your plate for you. That you won't even have to think about it. You're just like, I need some time. I need to go.
Yeah. So, okay. You have another point on here about like framing your no.
Framing your no.
Let's talk about that.
Okay. So there are so many situations where you can say no, especially to your kids. So once you know exactly like what your priorities are. So in this example, one of my priorities is that my kids are really self-sufficient in the house and they do their chores on their own. And second to that is I do want them to be kind and helpful to others. Mm-hmm. But there's a boundary and some of those boundaries are a little like fuzzy. So this weekend, my daughter was working on something for school and she had her laundry in the washer and she's 13. And she asked me, she's like, hey, mom, like I'm working on this poster right now. Can you go and switch my laundry for me? And I was here trying to like get meal plans ready for the week and trying to get other stuff ready myself. Yeah. I was doing something as well. And I told her because I knew it had to be a no. I'm not going to stop everything I'm doing just to like help her change laundry, which is not an urgent need that could definitely wait until she was done with her poster.
Right.
And so I told her, I'm like, you know, I would love to help you out. I start it with a nice. But I have these things I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. So I can't.
Yeah.
And that's all I did.
Yep.
And I said no.
It's like one of my things that I do sometimes. It's not that simple of a situation. Like mine would be, well, maybe it is simple. It's all simple depending on how you look at it. So like my daughter came down one day and wanted to go to the mall. Mm-hmm. She wanted to go shopping to get a new outfit. I forget what the reason was, but there was a legit reason. And that day I couldn't. But I told her like, I can't take you today, but maybe tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And she just kept harping and harping and harping on it. And so finally I just started going into my favorite statement. I love you and no, mm-hmm. I love you and no. And finally, like she was able to stop and respect the no and move on. Was she upset? Yeah. Did she like stomp a little? Yeah. It took her a couple hours, but she calmed down, eventually came downstairs, tried to plead her case one more time. And I'm like, I gave you my reason why I couldn't. I have stuff I'm doing today. I love you and no. Mm-hmm. And then it finally stopped and we were good and we could move on. But it's that same thing. It's like the I love you.
No.
I'd love to be able to help you. And no, it's okay. If it's too much and they're making you nervous, just stick with the I love you and no. I love you and no.
It's a great phrase.
Yes.
I use that
fantastic
phrase a lot. Especially when they come back again and again and again and again and again.
Because they
try to get a different answer.
Because they do.
And then they go and they ask your husband, their dad.
And then you wonder if your kids have a career in being a lawyer.
Yeah.
Because they're so good.
This is interesting. And it
litigation.
Is also manipulative. Let's talk about the word manipulation. Let's do that.
Oh, Lordy Lord.
And then the hardest thing, I think, when you decide to set a boundary and say no to make space for something that you want to do is to stick to your no.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of things that happen around it that make you feel really crappy.
Like, yeah.
Really crappy. It's not an easy like, oh, I'm going to go, well, in our case, to Italy on a cruise. And my family's going to be happy and wonderful when I come back. No. There were like crying phone calls. Mom, I miss you so much. And like all of those emotions and things you have to deal with. And I would say overall, though, going through that experience, that I would totally go and do it again, go to Italy and deal with all those things. Because when your kids push back, when you have other things happen because you've decided to do something, it's just life. It's just the challenges that come up.
Yep.
And it's okay.
And you know what's really great about sticking to your no is that you are teaching, you are modeling to others, especially your kids, the importance of sticking to healthy boundaries.
Yes. And it's incredibly hard.
Right? So you are modeling to them what healthy boundaries look like. And we started this episode with you sharing the story about your mom and the boundaries that she modeled to you and how a lot of us do take what we see from our parents, what we experience in our lives as children in our family, and we take that and we roll with that in our lives as well. In your case, what you saw was a boundary that you were like, ooh, goodness, I don't want that boundary going forward. But a lot of people don't have that experience. They'll be like, nope, mom never did anything on her own, so I should never do anything on my own.
Yeah.
And you don't want your kids like that?
No, that's not. In fact, I didn't even want kids. I pushed them off for a long, long time because of that, because they thought my life would be over. And it wasn't until I saw it modeled for me in terms of friends' kids that I'm like, oh, wait, the parents still go out? They still go out?
That's fantastic. Like, who were your friends that modeled that for you? I'm curious.
It was Josh's cousins who live in Colorado. They had a toddler at the time. We went to go stay with them, and they were starting their own company. And yeah, it wasn't just mom staying at home and dad doing it.
I think these cousins, we have to thank for a lot of things.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And it showed me that it's okay to have your own life outside of your kids, which I think is an important thing for everybody to know.
Hey, all, it is Joanne
and Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explains, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode, and all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. Or just click on the link in our show notes.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory, two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders. So, join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly,
wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking it.
Right.
And sticking to your no, it's hard when you don't have people supporting you and in your corner with your no. Like, if you stick to your no and then your like mother-in-law, and I use only mother-in-law because I have a fantastic mother-in-law who would never, ever do this. So I would not get in trouble by using the mother-in-law comment. But I know a lot of other people's mother-in-laws do, what they make they feel really, really guilty and saying like, no, you should be home with your children. No, you should make sure your children are happy and well taken care of.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of those things. And it's so much pressure when you have someone else in your ear telling you you're making wrong decisions when you're not.
Oh, wait, can I throw in one more of those?
Yes.
The whole like, Oh, gosh. You know, I was happy enough just being home with my kids. I don't understand why it's not good enough for you.
That's so awful.
Right?
That's
so awful. Oh, I was just so excited to be a mom. That just made me fill with everything. I don't know why that's not enough for you.
Oh, if you are hearing these things, come to us.
Please let us know. Yeah, please hear us out.
That's one of the great things about our Calm and Happy Parenting program and our Balanced VIP coaching support group is because like we are there to like help you stick to your nose and to show you like, hey, this is like brand new world on the other side of setting boundaries and communicating with kids. And you can still take care of yourself and have this great life with your family.
Because you need your team. You need your team that has your back, that is there to tell you you've got this.
Yeah,
you can do this. It's okay. You're not being selfish.
No,
all these things.
That is one of the big things I love about Calm and Happy Parenting and Balance, because that is the support we provide. But need so many of us in your corner.
Yeah, so many of us have been told that. We've been told that by wanting to do things on your own, you're being selfish. Mm-hmm. And you're not. You need to have healthy boundaries, because you can't be everyone's everything all the time.
No.
There's not enough left for you.
And can I tell you the broad scale manipulation that comes from kids? Like, they are the best at manipulating. And I love, like, and it's not to say they do this intentionally. They don't. They're just looking to fulfill a need and they don't know how to fulfill it in a respectable way.
Yeah.
But, like, for instance, we went to the river, came back around noon. My son, I was told he was totally fine the entire time. I walk in the door, Mom, I'm so hungry. I didn't eat breakfast, Mom. And like, Dad wouldn't make me anything. And I'm so hungry. And I'm like feeling here like I just came back from an enjoyable time at the river. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
And it
like,
gets sucked out.
Why is this happening right now? And then I like think of my husband and I'm like, why didn't he make him anything? Like, that's the first thing that goes through my head until I go and talk to my husband.
You're like, I just want to confirm some facts here.
I was just like, hey, like Eric came up to me and he was like this. And he's like, yeah, I mean, we woke up. I asked him if he wanted anything. He said no, he'd find his own thing. That was it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well,
your husband's like, I took him at his word. Was I not supposed to?
And did that. And I'm like, well, that makes a lot of sense. And so,
yeah,
that can happen. And that can cause a lot of conflict between you and your spouse or your parenting partner, because your kids will tell you one thing about how they viewed the situation when the actuality is so very different.
What did we just say about assuming people?
Assuming, yes.
Do not assume. Just try to get all the facts first. And you know what? If you're still on your high of your time alone, you can put that problem aside and be like, hey, I'm not going to go talk to your dad about it then.
I did.
To your dad.
I did. I was like, oh, you're hungry? Oh, I'm hungry too. I'm just going to go take a shower really quick. Okay, bye. And I went next, shut the door, and I took a shower. And my daughter was out there too. And she came up afterwards. She's like, I just want you to know he was completely fine before you came in the door. And then as soon as you went to take the shower, he was completely fine again and went to watch YouTube. And I'm like, yeah, I expected as much.
Yeah, it makes you feel vindicated and mad at the same time. Yeah. Doesn't it? You're like, I knew it. And then it's like, oh, I knew it.
I knew it. Oh, well, there's a thing. A lot of this is kind of an aside, but it's not an aside. A lot of like popular messaging around boys is that they are very sensitive and that, you know, they have really big emotions and they need to be taken care of, which they do. It's all true. But so do girls. Boys are sometimes given a lot more leeway in terms of their emotional expression than girls are. Whereas boys are allowed to have these big outbursts and everything, and it's like it's normal, quote unquote, normal, when we don't raise girls the same way. And I see that, and I am working with that with my son, although it's really hard because it's ingrained in you. Like, it's ingrained in me. I do it automatically. And I'm like, oh, he just has big emotions, not realizing that this is a societal thing. So much so that, I mean, gosh, I'm a Marvel fan. I will go and quote all the Marvel to you all the time. But in She-Hulk, this first episode of She-Hulk, if you remember in the Hulk, he has a really hard time controlling when he's the Hulk, right? Because mm-hmm. he'll get mad, he'll get angry, and he'll turn into the Hulk. And so the premise of She-Hulk, and I'm not really giving too much away here, is that they get in a car accident at the beginning. She's Bruce Banner's cousin, and some of his blood seeps into her open wound from the car accident, and she becomes a Hulk as well.
Okay.
So that's how she gets her abilities. So he was like, oh no, you have to stay here away from people for a year. Like, it took me a year to figure out how to control the Hulk. And she's able to do it like that. Like, it's really fast. And when he's like, I don't understand this. And she's like, well, you said it comes from emotions. Me as a woman, like, I'm not allowed to show my anger and emotions. If someone catcalls me, if someone yells at me at work, I have to control my emotions and I'm not allowed to react. So that's why I'm able to shift from the Hulk so easily, because I can control those emotions.
Interesting.
And I'm like, yes, because it's something that we are ingrained as women to do, not to show anger and to hold it all inside. It's kind of sad and kind of like, oh, that's how it is.
Yeah.
So it's a superpower as well.
Yes. So hopefully we have taught you your superpower.
Yes.
Of saying no and all the ways that you can do it. So please. And I want to say, like, too, like, this episode was kind of inspired because we have our No Guilt Mom Mindset, which we have a link to in the show notes here. And I'm allowed to say no is one of our mindsets there. It's actually mindset number 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very important thing that we think is really important for you as a mom to have.
So how to say no to others and stick to it is, number 1, be clear on your priorities. Number 2, know how to frame your no. And number 3,
you're going to stick to your no, no matter what.
Stick to your no. You know that there is going to be conflict and pushback coming up.
It's okay.
We shared some with ours. That's how it goes.
You'll make it. You can do it. We believe in you. You are allowed to say no.
And of course, we want you in Calm and Happy Parenting and Balance VIP. So we have a link for that in the show notes as well. And until next time, the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you. And we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.